Hi, Dove. Thanks. Yeah, for a minute there, I thought I had the night off because I saw on the schedule that Holy Spirit Guides wasn't on the schedule, and then I came in and it looked like something else might be going on. So that, we were going to say that was okay. We could go watch a movie if you guys had something else going on. Well, you know, Dove, it's supposed to be Holy Spirit Guides. You're saying it's open, but it's supposed to be Holy Spirit Guides. Yes. Shall we do it or shall we go watch a movie? Okay, then it's mine. Well, I mean, if other people have something they want to do with the open room, that's truly okay with me. So I guess, no, you want me to go, I see, with the thank you with the exclamation point. Yeah, Dove, take the mic.
Well, you know, it's funny that it is Holy Spirit Guides, because I did start the evening off by saying something that Lord Blue said a couple of years ago, which I said at the time I didn't quite understand. I didn't accept it. I didn't resist it. I didn't understand it. And he said at the time, you know, this is not really Deb's room at all. This is Holy Spirit's room. And I have come to know that that is so. Everything happens truly perfectly. It is Holy Spirit's room. But, you know, it's not that this room is different than any other room. Every place in this world is Holy Spirit's room. And whatever happens in these rooms is always what you bring to the room. Actually, that's exactly what we're on tomorrow's reading, chapter 12, section 7, look within and recognize that everything that seems to happen you have asked for has happened exactly as you have asked. And actually, I didn't even realize it, but most people know I read from, I quote page 231 over and over and over, and I didn't even realize that that is coming up, chapter 12, section 7. It says, when you want to see only love, love is all you'll see, and that's in paragraph 8 of chapter 12, section 7, and finally, that line that I use probably every single day that I'm on the mic, your only remaining freedom as a prisoner of this world is that you have the power of decision to see it right. And that's all part of looking within, which just goes perfectly with everything that's been said. So I'm going to turn this mic over to you. This is Holy Spirit's room, and Holy Spirit Guides is the perfect thing to be sharing. So thank you so much, Regina. The mic is all yours.
You're welcome, Dove. And yeah, I did see the schedule that got printed today, and I saw that you had yourself on the schedule for 8 and nothing after that. And I thought, wow, I bet they forgot. And we were totally okay with that because, like I said, we have a movie, we have a couple movies hanging around we haven't had time to watch. So we figured if you guys were doing something else, we'd just go watch a movie. But yeah, we'll do Holy Spirit Guides because we're here, and then maybe we'll watch the movie afterwards. So let me give you all a link then. We haven't done Holy Spirit Guides in about a month or maybe even more. We haven't done it since before I went to Boston, so that would be mid-March. So maybe this is why it got forgotten. It's been a while.
You didn't do it before?
Well, what we did last time we taught on a Wednesday night, we didn't do Holy Spirit Guides. We did one of the continuations of your teaching and my teaching, Laurent. So we haven't done Holy Spirit Guides since mid-March. But where we left off in Holy Spirit Guides was in August of 2005. And in fact, we're starting on a message called it's on August 3rd, and the message is called Who Are We Truly? And so if you click on the link that I just gave you and then you just scroll down to Wednesday, August 3rd, 2005, you will find the message there. And I notice Lord Blue is saying, I am Lord, in answer to Who Are We Truly? What I'm going to do is just take a moment to turn this next 50 minutes or so over to the Holy Spirit. And when I do this with all sincerity. It is truly not my desire to teach at all from what I'll call for now the personality mind of Regina Akers. I know that the personality of Regina is going to be used. I know that possibly some of the stories from Regina's story are going to be used, but the mind, that the personality mind that is Regina's mind, which includes, you know, judgments and guilt and unworthiness and all that stuff that is included, you know, within the personality mind, that's the mind I want to put aside. What I really want to do is I want to be completely enlightened by the Holy Spirit, completely guided by the Holy Spirit, illuminated by the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to guide everything that is said, everything that is shared, everything that is seen. So I just turn this over to the Holy Spirit, and I say, take it away. I'll do the talking, but you tell me what to say. Amen. Hi, Laurent.
Hello.
Laurent cooked dinner tonight, and he just now finished clearing the table, so now he's sat down and joined us. anything you want to say before we...
Hi.
All right. So what I'm going to do then is I'm just going to read this message from Wednesday, August 3rd, 2005. I haven't read it yet, so I don't know, you know, why it was written or anything. We'll see what comes to my mind as I read. So I had a question. The question was, Holy Spirit, please tell us today who we truly are. This is funny. It's just like my prayer. Look at this. Without the guilt and fear and hate that we may look on that today. You know, I kind of, I like that because I think even the prayer was guided is what I'm seeing here. So again, the question was, Holy Spirit, please tell us today who we truly are without the guilt and fear and hate that we may look on that today. And this was the answer I got that day. It is a love song that I sing to you, which you do not hear because you do not believe the love is but yourself. And so you hide from the song and listen to the notes of guilt that you have decided to play. Let me tell you why the notes of guilt are not a part of God's one true song. It is because you are but his son, made from the essence of him, and therefore the same as him. You can be nothing different than what you are. You can create an image of yourself and believe that image and play the role of that image, but that does not mean the image is what you are. Your safety lies in the truth of who you are, and that truth is always true, awaiting only your recognition and acceptance of it. Peace be with you today, for peace is who you are. Come to know yourself by seeking your peace. In peace, you are at home. I do vaguely remember this day. I don't remember what led up to me asking this question. But I do remember that when I sat down, I was in a lot of pain, because I did believe that I was the guilt, fear, and hate that was in my mind at that moment. And I was really hurting. I remember that. It was my dog, Jamie. At least that seemed to be the trigger. We had just gotten this puppy. We had just gotten Jamie, and we had gotten Jamie out of the pound. She was about 3 months old, and I thought it was funny that my daughter picked out this particular dog, because when we walked into the pound, all of the other dogs were acting normal. I mean, they were jumping and barking, and they seemed happy, and they wanted attention. And this particular dog just laid there almost like it was dead. And, you know, Jasmine said she wanted that dog, and I went over and I was kind of even poking it a little to see if I could get some reaction out of it. And she said, I said, Jasmine, are you sure you want this dog? And she said, yes, I want this dog. So we agreed to take that dog, but what we decided to do was to visit the dog for 5 days before we took it so that it could get more and more and more used to us. And each day the dog did come a little more alive, and by the time we brought it home, it did seem somewhat normal. But then what happened after we got this dog home is it became almost like a rebellious teenager. You hear stories about people who take in maybe teenage foster children, or they adopt teenage children, and the children just seem to test the heck out of them, to see if they're really going to be loved by this set of parents. That's the way Jamie, my dog, was. She just seemed to really test me. You could tell that she was very smart, and she learned the rules very quickly. And then on purpose broke them, is the way it seemed. And she even bit me. She even bit me once. And I was really getting frustrated with this dog. I couldn't even have a telephone conversation without her, you know, tearing something up. It was just awful. And what I felt like was just this awful person, this guilt, because I hated this little puppy. And I just, you know, here I am on the spiritual path, and I'm supposed to be, you know, I'm judging, of course, what spiritual means. At this time, I'm thinking I'm supposed to be good, supposed to be peaceful, I'm supposed to be love, and I hate this little puppy. So that's what was going on. I was just eat up with guilt and hate, triggered by this puppy. And I couldn't see myself in any other way. I really thought I was that guilt and that hate. So that's what led to this message. Now, as I was reading it today, you know, I realize, I'm going to say, if you'll pardon the expression, I realize how far I've come. Because on the day that I wrote this message, I did believe that I was the hate that I felt and the guilt that I felt and the hate thoughts that were in my mind and the wanting to, you know, just kill this dog or at least take it back to the pound. I thought I was all of that. And of course, when we look at this particular message, we see that Holy Spirit is telling me, of course, telling us all, that we are not the notes of guilt that we've decided to play, that there is another song, a love song that Holy Spirit plays for us, but we don't hear it simply because we're listening to our own song. And Holy Spirit goes on in this message to tell us that what we are creating when we listen to our own song is we're creating an image of ourselves. And we can think we are that image. We can even play out the role of that image. But that is never, ever, ever going to make us into that image. And, you know, this is something I know today. In fact, this is something I was talking to Laurent about today. Today we were talking about serial killers. I was telling Laurent about, you know, there are a few serial killers where I happened to see one-hour documentaries on them, which really would show kind of their whole life and the development of their mind and how they got to be the infamous serial killer that they were. And I told Laurent that before I was even on the spiritual path, whenever I would see one of these documentaries that really showed me how this development occurred, it was very obvious to me that the only thing that had really happened was that there had been thoughts in their mind. They usually started off somewhat innocent, you know, somewhat innocent. Like there was one serial killer who wondered what it would be like to kill a squirrel when he was a young boy. That's how he seemed to start. And what they would do is they would dwell on these thoughts. They would dwell on them and dwell on them and dwell on them until they carried out the act. And then there would be what I'll call a next level thought, like after a squirrel, you know, I don't remember what he went to next, but then maybe he wanted to see what it was like to kill his neighbor's dog, you know, something a little more drastic. And he would dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it until he did that. And eventually he grew up to be a serial killer. And I told Laurent that what I was able to see, even before I was on the spiritual path, is that it was all about the thoughts we dwelled on, that whatever we dwelled on, we would then act on. And that, you know, the thoughts themselves were nothing when they showed up in the mind. And that if we were able to see these thoughts and see that they were nothing and choose intelligently, and when I say intelligently now, I'm using the capital I intelligence, the God intelligence, choose intelligently which ideas to dwell on within the mind, you know, that you know, of course, we would be only love, but if we choose to dwell on something else, we will seem to be that. But what I see now, even beyond that, is, but we are never that. Even if we dwell on these darkest ideas and we seem to lead a life that guides us to act out even these darkest ideas, that does not change what we are. That's what Holy Spirit is teaching us in this message. Even that does not change what we are. That is merely the manifestation of what we chose to dwell on and what we chose to experience. But what we are is always what we are, and that will never, never change. Now, how is that useful to those of us who are on the spiritual path, those of us who want to awaken? But what happens is, until we get to the point that we realize that thoughts are nothing, what happens is we're very much identified with the thoughts, and they may be thoughts, you know, as simple as mine, thoughts of, I'm taking this damn dog back to the pound, you know, making me feel like I'm some hateful, awful person. If I'm listening to that thought and believing that thought, I think I am that thought, and I suffer from it. But if I realize it is literally nothing but a thought, and if I realize I don't have to believe it about myself, I don't have to believe that I hate this dog. See, that's the mistake we make. We think we have to believe these thoughts in our mind. We think that they're true. We think that because I think it, and because I feel this emotion of hate, this is true about me. And that's not true. That's what Holy Spirit is teaching us. Do you want to say something, Laurent?
No, I wanted to ask you.
He's waving to me here, raising his hand.
I'm raising my hand.
Yes.
Are you saying it's the same thing as, like Spirit said yesterday, these thoughts are not yours?
Yes. Yes, they're just, you know, in fact, yesterday Holy Spirit talked to us, and yesterday Holy Spirit referred to thoughts as wisps of air. They're wisps, you can see them as wisps of air passing through the mind. Now, if you choose to identify with that wisp of air, you will think you are that. You may even act out being that. But that is not what you are. In fact, another great analogy that just popped into my mind is, you know, if we think of the world as a play, that's a potential script, and we're the role player. So if hate thoughts pass through my mind, and I choose to believe those lines, I may even act out that role in this lifetime, in this play. But that doesn't make me that. It only makes me think I am that. It only makes me play that part. But it does not change my truth. And when I realize this, when I really, really realize this, then I can be hearing hate thoughts in my mind. I can be feeling the emotion of hate in my body. And I can realize that is not who I am, and I do not have to buy into this. And this is where the rest, accept, and trust comes in the beginning. Because, of course, in the beginning, when we are deeply identified with these thoughts, to be honest, it seems hard to believe I am not that. In fact, when I was studying A Course in Miracles, my least favorite lesson in the entire book was the one that says, there is no cruelty in God and none in me. And do you know why I hated that lesson? Because I thought it was a lie. I hated saying it because I felt like I was lying to myself, because I did believe firmly there was cruelty in me. And when I said that lesson, there's no cruelty in God and none in me, I hated it because I didn't believe it. I hated it. I hated it because I hated me, because I thought there was cruelty in me. I did not realize that all I was doing was believing thoughts that I did not have to choose to believe. And as soon as I start choosing not to believe them, as soon as I start choosing to believe the Holy Spirit's evaluation of me, the Holy Spirit's thoughts about me, that becomes my experience. Right now, I don't believe I am hate. I did in August 2005. I don't now. I don't believe there is cruelty in me anymore. And I very seldom even experience those thoughts or emotions anymore. I still do. The waves still pass through. But it's seldom. It's not really a part of my identity anymore. And when I do experience it, even if I experience it now, I don't think that's me. I think that's a wave passing through, and I just have to wait until it passes. I don't think it's me. And that's exactly what Holy Spirit is talking about in this particular message. It isn't me. And, you know, it isn't you, whoever's listening, and whoever might think that your hate thoughts are you. It isn't you. But at some point, again, like Holy Spirit was telling us yesterday, we have to make the decision to stop believing the thoughts. So let me just read this again. Let me read this. We're reading from Wednesday, August 3rd, 2005. A few people have entered the room. Let me give the link. Okay, so the question I asked that day when I was feeling like I was hate, Holy Spirit, and this is you can read this now and know that I was actually begging, because I was suffering so much from who I thought I was. I was begging, Holy Spirit, please tell us today who we truly are. You can hear the begging in that. Please tell us today who we truly are, without the guilt and fear and hate, that we may look on that today. And Holy Spirit answered, "It is a love song that I sing to you, which you do not hear because you do not believe the love is but yourself. And so you hide from the song and listen to the notes of guilt that you have decided to play. Let me tell you why the notes of guilt are not a part of God's one true song. It is because you are but his son, made from the essence of him, and therefore the same as him. You can be nothing different than what you are." I'm going to read that sentence again. You can be nothing different than what you are. You can create an image of yourself and believe that image and play the role of that image, but that does not mean the image is what you are. Your safety lies in the truth of who you are, and that truth is always true, awaiting only your recognition and acceptance of it. Peace be with you today, for peace is who you are. Come to know yourself by seeking your peace. In peace, you are at home. And I do remember at the end of this message, there was a peace that came over me, and I remember sitting there, I would say for about 15 minutes, but sitting there for about 15 minutes just feeling that peace. So Holy Spirit answered me that day. I was asking for help to see myself differently, and Holy Spirit answered me. And right now I'm just feeling an incredible wave of gratitude now that I'm remembering that particular day. And as far as the dog goes, she turned out to be a great dog. After about 3 weeks of testing me, she decided I was going to be a loving parent, especially when she bit me and I didn't hit her. She knew she was okay, and she's a great dog now. So I'll let go of the mic for just a second and see if anybody has anything they want to say before I go to the next message. All right, then, what we can do is scroll up on that page, and it looks like the next message is a little longer. The next one, it goes quite well with it. The next one is from Thursday, August 4th, 2005, so it's the very next day, and at least what I titled the message was, "How Do We Release Guilt and Fear?" And it looks like, it's a continuation. I say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. Yesterday, I asked who we are without the guilt and fear and hatred. Today, I am ready to listen to you regarding the guilt and fear and hatred." Ooh, that's good. Can you see the progress there? Yesterday, I was terrified of it because I thought it's who I was. Today, I now want to look at it because my mind has opened up to the idea that is not who I am. Therefore, I'm realizing I can release it, and now I want to learn how. So you can tell how well Holy Spirit answered me on August 3rd, because by August 4th, I'm ready to look at what I was afraid to look at the day before.
You call him teacher, you say good morning, and stuff. Sounds familiar.
Sounds like somebody we know, doesn't it? Yeah.
I'm just 3 years a little 3 years late, but it's okay. You
know, Laurent is having these same conversations with Holy Spirit now, so he's laughing. Okay, so good morning, Holy Spirit. Yesterday I asked who we are without the guilt and fear and hatred. Today I am ready to listen to you regarding the guilt and fear and hatred. What would you share, teacher? And here is the answer. It is easy to look away from the guilt and fear and hatred that seems to be within you if you choose to believe it is outside of you. This is projection, and this is the defense mechanism that you made to save you from your own pain. And it may seem to work if you don't think about it while you project, because you may have a feeling of innocence, better than he, or self-righteousness, as you point your finger at another. But don't look too closely at how you feel, or you will find this defense mechanism hides nothing. For underneath your feelings of self-righteousness, is pain, irritation, or fear. And you don't need to look far to discover these feelings. Just ask yourself, is it peace I feel now? The answer is obvious. And what I added in, just because I knew that this was inferred, just ask yourself whenever you seem to point the finger at someone else, is it peace I feel now? The answer is obvious. So obviously, something that I was doing, which Holy Spirit is addressing immediately, is that I was holding on to my guilt and fear and hatred by projecting it onto others. And since I'm saying now I'm ready to look at this so that I can release it, Holy Spirit has to start off by pointing out my errors. And so what he is showing me is that when I am hating the puppy, for example, blaming the puppy, thinking everything is the puppy's fault, I'm on the one hand thinking I'm not the guilty one, the puppy is. But on the other hand, Holy Spirit is saying, now if you just look, you'll notice you're not at peace when you're doing that. And that's, there's no doubt about that. When I'm hating the puppy, I'm very annoyed. I'm not at peace. And he wants me to start getting in touch with my feelings. And the reason he wants to start helping me get in touch with my feelings is because whatever I am believing when I am upset in any way is something I'm teaching myself about myself. I may be thinking that I'm hating the puppy and blaming the puppy, but really I'm teaching myself that I am that I am that hate, that I am that guilt that I seem to be projecting onto someone else. So I need to get in touch with my feelings. I need to feel the feeling of annoyance, the feelings of agitation, and I need to know that whenever I'm believing whatever thoughts are in my mind, why I'm feeling those feelings, what I'm doing is I'm teaching myself this role. And I need to learn to not listen to whatever thoughts are in my mind, no matter how justified they may seem. I need to learn to not listen to the thoughts that are in my mind when I'm feeling those feelings. So this is what Holy Spirit is pointing out to me when he says, just ask yourself, is it peace I feel now? And he says, the answer is obvious. If the defense of projection does not bring you peace, and peace is your home, projection must not be your home. So to abandon projection is to abandon nothing but the act of deceiving yourself. This is the first thing I ask of you. Watch your thoughts for any time that you think anyone is guilty for anything. It's pretty all-inclusive there. Watch your thoughts for any time that you think anyone is guilty for anything. And realize this thought is not peace. Then decide that you want peace and let the thought go. This may seem to take faith and a great deal of willingness at first. But as you get better at giving over the thoughts of projection, you will begin to see that your brother is not guilty. And if he is not guilty, neither are you. And there was a particular brother in my life at this time that I did project a lot of guilt onto. And this is why Holy Spirit is saying this may seem to take faith and a great deal of willingness at first, because I really believed that he was guilty. And it was nearly impossible for Holy Spirit to convince me that he wasn't. And so Holy Spirit, of course, knows that. And Holy Spirit knows that as long as I'm projecting all of this guilt onto this brother, that what I'm really doing is keeping it. I won't be able to release it. So that's why Holy Spirit is starting there with me. And this is why Holy Spirit is being very honest to say it will seem to take faith and a great deal of willingness. And what he's really doing is appealing to my willingness. One thing that I have had, fortunately, since I started the spiritual path, is I have had willingness. There have been like a couple of days, actually a few days this year, where the willingness seemed to get kind of lost. But until this year, it was never lost, and this year it was only lost a few days. One thing I could always get in touch with, and especially at the time when this was written in 2005, I could always get in touch with my willingness. No matter how bad things seemed, I could get in touch with that willingness. And Holy Spirit knew that about me. So he's pointing at something that at this time was the most difficult thing I was going through, a brother that I really thought was wrong. And he's asking me now, to be willing to change my mind about that, in spite of all of the seeming evidence that I could point to, all of the stories I could tell about all of the things he did. Holy Spirit is telling me if I want to release the guilt, then I need to release this projection. And he's appealing to my willingness. So you'll notice I say, what is the next thing you ask? He says, when you have begun to give up the defense mechanism of projection, that which you seem to have been hiding within yourself will begin to rise. For you have not given up your belief in hate, fear, and guilt. You have only begun to accept that placing it outside of you does not bring you peace. And so I asked, what should we do when we begin to notice these feelings within ourselves? And he said, this is when the position you call the observer is useful. If you allow yourself to believe these feelings as they come up, you will suffer within a pool of pain and misery, and you will learn nothing useful to the purpose of awakening. That's a pretty strong statement. We've seen some strong Holy Spirit lately here too. When we're ready, he gets strong. He gets very strong. And apparently I was ready at this point because he's getting very strong. He's saying, if you choose to believe these feelings, you know, you're going to suffer. So this is a decision you're going to have to make. And he's also pointing out that being the observer of the feelings rather than being identified with them, believing they are my feelings, is going to be very important if I don't want to suffer as they start rising. He says, remember that I told you these beliefs about yourself are not real, but allow yourself to observe that the beliefs are there. So again, he's addressed the projection defense mechanism, and now he's really addressing the denial defense mechanism. He's not asking me to see a feeling like hate within me and say it's not true and push it down through denial. You know, which is still using the right words, it's not true, but it's pushing it down, pushing it away. He's asking me to observe it, or the language we've been using lately is allow it or accept it. He's asking me to allow it to be there and remember that it's not true. Don't push it away and say it's not true. Allow it to be there and remember that it's not true, even as I'm feeling it, even as I'm experiencing it. Remember that I told you these beliefs about yourself are not real, but allow yourself to observe that the beliefs are there. For you have denied these beliefs about yourself for a very long time and projected them onto the world. In order to remember who you are, you must let go of the beliefs that tell you that you are who you are not. And to let go of those beliefs, you must face that you think them true. So the first step is to let go of thoughts of projection, and you will need faith and willingness to complete this first step. You will seem to need to complete this first step many times, but you are only being thorough, for your projection was thorough indeed.
What is thorough?
Thorough is like complete. So, you know, this makes sense. You know, he's saying you didn't get here in a day. Don't expect to get back to knowing who you are in a day. That's what he means by thorough. You know, he's saying you spent a lot of time, you know, denying these beliefs, projecting these beliefs. You spent a lot of time doing that. You put a lot of effort into doing that. So it's going to take some time to undo that. You know, he's asking for patience. And he's right, especially considering the particular brother that he's speaking of that I really felt intense hatred for. This was in August of 2005. That forgiveness finally came in May of 2006. So, you know, not a lifetime away, but many, many months. Many, many months of still suffering with those thoughts and letting go of those thoughts. And I remember the thoughts about this brother would just run in my mind constantly. Just, he did this and he did this, and hate and projection and constantly. And I remember I would let go of them. I would breathe some peace, rest my mind, let go of the thoughts, get back to a peaceful place and feel like I was okay. And then literally 30 seconds later, they were back again. And this went on for months. This went on for months. And that's what Holy Spirit is talking about here. But you know what? It went on for months, but I finally got past it. And that's important to know too. You know, yeah, if you're in the months and months and months of the letting go, it's important to know that you just stick with it. You just stick with it. But at this point, this is where we were beginning. And so Holy Spirit was being very honest with me. Holy Spirit was warning me that it's not going to seem to be easy. You're going to have to work hard. That's really what Holy Spirit is saying. Because you worked hard to get here, so you're going to have to work hard to get back to remembering who you are. So again, the first step is to let go of thoughts of projection. And you will need faith and willingness to complete this first step. You will seem to need to complete this first step many times, but you are only being thorough, for your projection was thorough indeed. The second step is to notice that all you seem to project, you believe about yourself. Then be willing to let go of that belief, again in faith and willingness. For as long as you hold on to the belief, it will seem to be true. And that's the kicker right there. We can't wait for it not to seem to be true before we let go of it. It's going to seem to be true, and we have to make the decision to let go of it anyway. So at first, there actually may even be a feeling of lying to ourselves. Like I said, I felt like I was lying to myself when I would read, there is no cruelty in God and none in me. At first, there may even seem to be a feeling when I'm saying, I am not this hate. There may seem to be a feeling that I'm lying to myself. What I really have to do at this point is I have to remember, what am I going to trust? Am I going to trust what I believe about myself? Or am I going to trust what the Holy Spirit says about me? And I got to make a decision, because the truth is, I believe one thing and he's saying another. And if I'm going to keep believing what I believe about myself, I'm going to stay there. If I ever, ever want to get to see that what the Holy Spirit is saying about me is true, I literally have to choose to trust his evaluation of me more than my own. That's the decision I have to make.
The two evaluations,
yeah, from A Course in Miracles. I literally have to decide to trust him more than me. That's what I have to do. So he says, for as long as you hold on to the belief, it will seem to be true. You must let it go to find that it has no effects and therefore was never true. I have to let go of it first. I'm not going to learn first that I'm love and then let go of it. I have to let go of it to learn that I am love. Yeah, leap of faith, as Thank You is saying. So I said, okay, then what? Now comes a time of listening to me. For as the voice of the ego seems to go quieter in your mind, my voice will seem to grow more clear. And I will teach you that we are one. Once again, you will need faith and willingness. For there will still seem to be thoughts of projection, self-hatred, fear, and guilt to let go of. But when you are listening to me, you have begun the hike. And he's referring to a message he gave me a few weeks before this, where he asked me to hike up a mountain with him. And he told me that as we hiked up this mountain, we would merge together. That when I start hiking up the mountain, I may feel like I'm hiking on my own power. But as we continued the hike together, we would merge together. And by the time I would got to the top of the mountain, I wouldn't even remember what my own power was anymore. It would have just merged into his power. So, let's see. Once again, you will need faith and willingness, for there will still seem to be thoughts of projection, self-hatred, fear, and guilt to let go of. But when you are listening to me, you have begun the hike. Walk with me, and the peace that is your home will come to you as me. We are one. So that's the end of that message. Does anybody have anything they want to say or share? All right. Anything from you?
No, it's great.
All right. Then let's move up to Friday, August 5th.
I think there's a question.
Oh, there is a question. Where?
From Terry.
Let's see. From Terry. Can we be separate from the Holy Spirit?
No.
No. It's impossible.
You can have the experience of it.
Yeah, you can think you are. Terry, do you want to say any more about why you're asking that question? Is there anything you want to add to that? No, okay. Yeah, no, we can't be separate from the Holy Spirit. And in fact, even people who don't have a clue about the Holy Spirit, you know, people that aren't at all on the spiritual path and really don't have a clue, even they will listen to the Holy Spirit at times without knowing that they're listening to the Holy Spirit. Everybody will come to a point where they don't know what to do in a particular situation. And often then, that's when guidance will come in and guide them in a specific direction. And they are listening to the Holy Spirit then, even though they don't know it. The only time that we're really not listening to the Holy Spirit is when we're listening to our own thinking we know. I can look back on my life now, and I can see several times where I made key decisions by listening to the Holy Spirit when I didn't know it at the time. But I was just feeling lost. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't even realize I was asking the Holy Spirit. There was no prayer or anything. Oh, I see, Terry. I'll get back to that in a second. But there was no prayer or anything. There was just a, what am I going to do? And then something would come up that would guide me in a certain direction. And now I realize that was the Holy Spirit. Whenever I opened up to what am I going to do without trying to figure it out, I was always guided very clearly. And now I can look back and see how everything was so perfect. But you just said you were going to join with Holy Spirit. That's what brought up the question. Yeah, and that's referring to in my awareness, Terry. So in my awareness, I would begin to know that I was joined with the Holy Spirit would be a way of saying that. Where before, as you know, I felt very separate. Yeah, so it's talking about being aware of that joining. Yeah.
And a little more than just like you were saying, like for the example in the world, you know, generally people... You know, nobody's not only separate from Holy Spirit, but then a lot of teachings are telling us that most of the time during even the days, the heart is the one that leads much more often than we think, than the thoughts. So there's a lot of automatic doing that's happening in everybody on like on Earth, and that is Holy Spirit,
the
heart.
Yes.
But then when the thinking comes around, it's based on separation, so it's another awareness. But yeah. You know, we talk many times about it, you know, passing the salt is Holy Spirit. I mean, whenever there's that automatic doing, you know.
Yeah, no, it's very clear. Yeah, you can get to where you see it more and more.
That, yeah.
Yes. Everybody's guided, and they just
everybody,
don't know it.
In everybody, yeah.
They just don't know it.
It doesn't need to be like the major act of faith, or the big jump out of the cliff, you know, all this type of thing. No.
Yeah, Terry's saying effortless holy action.
Yes. And most of the action we take are effortlessly holy.
Yes.
You know, and same with everybody, but we don't realize it. We don't realize because we don't know, you know, who makes the miracle, what's happening with the miracle. You don't know why, because I crossed this way of the street. You don't know what that action created or allowed me not to have an accident here and allow that person over there not to do that. We don't know. We have no clue. But I want to think and feel actually that most of the time Holy Spirit guides absolutely everybody. Even though there might be like all we see is the catastrophes in the world and stuff, I still want to believe that there's much more miracles happening than we think.
All right, shall we then look at Friday, August 5th?
Yeah.
And I had questions about the body that day, so let's see. You know, it's funny, I kind of remember I was sitting at the kitchen table when this message came. It's funny how the little things will pop back into my mind. I don't remember anything else except that I was sitting at the kitchen table, the white one in there. Okay, so let's see what this is. There is a common point of confusion that I would like to ask for clarity on, and that is the body. We are asked not to see ourselves as bodies, since the body is the symbol of separation, and our goal is to accept our oneness. Many of us think we are ready to let the identity with the body go, but then we get confused when the body is sick or injured, because that does seem to affect us and limit our abilities. Also, we wonder if diet and exercise matter, or is it only our beliefs about diet and exercise that matter? What would you share with us about our experience of the body? And I do remember now, I actually got questions from people. And, you know, sometimes this would happen back when I was writing with Holy Spirit a little more frequently. Lots of people, there was a period I went through where lots of people would send me questions. That doesn't happen so much now. But there was a period where I went through where they did. I would get 4 or 5 questions a day from people. And it was interesting because sometimes they would all cluster around the same subject. Again, we're talking about following Holy Spirit. I'm sure they didn't know they were all following Holy Spirit when they asked me these questions. They just thought they had questions. But the questions would come and would cluster around a subject. And as we can tell from this, a lot of people seem to be coming to me with questions about the body, because when we study A Course in Miracles, we can seem to get confused about the body. So let's see what Holy Spirit has to say. The body is the symbol of separation, and the body is central to your experience because your experience is that of separation. This is based on your belief that you could have thoughts or a will that is separate from God's, and this is an error of thought, not of body. This is why healing is of the mind. The body is a neutral symbol of your beliefs, and it is your beliefs that you see reflected in your body, just as it is your beliefs that you see reflected in your world. Remember, all form is the same. First of all, I think that's a really important sentence, because I think somehow, and right now I'm referring to as students of A Course in Miracles. I mean, everybody does this in one way, but right now I'm referring very specific to as students of A Course in Miracles. I think that somehow we can sometimes make the body special as a symbol of separation. You know, because there are lines in the Course that talk about the body as a symbol of separation. There are certainly those lines that we repeat over and over again, I am not a body, I am free. And somehow, because of that seeming focus on the body, we make the body special as a symbol of separation. And what's really interesting about this last sentence that I read is he says, remember, all form is the same. In other words, the body is not special as a symbol of separation. Everything your eyes land on in the world is the same symbol. And everything that your eyes land on, including the body, can be reinterpreted by the Holy Spirit. So there's nothing special about the body. It's just form, just like everything else that you're experiencing. So remember, all form is the same. You can use form as a measure of your progress, for what you seem to experience in form will change as you let yourself be healed. Does this mean that you should feel guilty if you are sick or if you experience bodily pain? Are these symbols to be taken as proof that you are not a good student of love? This is exactly what we talked about this morning in Awakenings. The ego would favor that interpretation, and so those thoughts may enter your mind. I say, let those thoughts go. They are thoughts of confusion that delay your healing. We talked about this in Awakenings this morning because I was reading from Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth, and there was a sentence in A New Earth that said, sickness can either strengthen or weaken the ego. And I talked about how when I first started reading A Course in Miracles and I began to feel guilty about being sick, because my interpretation was that a healed mind does not get sick, and my interpretation was also that I was guilty for not seeming to be a healed mind. And so when I got guilty, when I got sick, I felt guilty.
Guilty.
And when I got guilty, I was sick. Yeah, yeah. When I got sick, I felt guilty. And what I didn't realize is that I was strengthening the ego through that belief in guilt. And that now when I get sick, I actually use my sickness to weaken the ego by simply allowing the sickness in peace. and not believing that it makes me guilty anymore. But another thing we talked about this morning is that when we read A Course in Miracles, the reason we get to this confusion in the mind sometimes, you know, like the example I just gave about sickness, is because when we read A Course in Miracles, we can read that book with the ego as our interpreter or with the Holy Spirit as our interpreter, which means we can't actually blindly believe what we think we are reading. We actually need to discern what we are reading. If there's guilt in what we're reading, if there's judgment in what we're reading, it's not actually in what we're reading, it's in the interpretation, the interpreter that we're reading it with. And, you know, Holy Spirit is teaching me that lesson right here. This is probably where I learned that lesson. This is probably where I caught on to the fact that I was making that error, reading A Course in Miracles with the ego and thinking I understood the teaching. Because listen again to this last paragraph. Holy Spirit is speaking. He says, "Does this mean that you should feel guilty if you are sick or if you experience bodily pain? Are these symbols to be taken as proof that you are not a good student of love?" The ego would favor that interpretation. So when I read A Course in Miracles and I get that idea in my mind, I'm listening to the ego as I'm reading the course. The ego would favor that interpretation, and so those thoughts may enter your mind. I say, let those thoughts go. They are thoughts of confusion that delay your healing. Or just like Eckhart Tolle said, that's when sickness is being used to strengthen the ego instead of weakening it. I continued, what should we do when we experience sickness or physical pain? He says, see it as a symbol that more healing is needed. Let it tell you that you still believe in the unreal, and so you must trust in me to lead you safely home. Give your sickness or pain to me, and tell me that you believe in it. Share your fears and your beliefs, and give them over to me in love and faith. And then be patient with yourself. From within your experience, healing may seem to take time. That is only because you are practicing for the moment of healing. And all practice is important. When your practice becomes a moment-to-moment habit of love, you will be healed. Until that seems to be patient with yourself. Here's where this line was first written. This line's been quoted many times since then, but this is where we got it. Until that seems to be patient with yourself, for patience is a symbol of love in what seems to be a world of time. That's where it came from, right there.
Music, please. Music, master, music.
Yeah, that's one of the lines. There are a few lines that have been written through me that get quoted repeatedly, and that's one of them. And so this is the message that it came from. Patience is a symbol of love in what seems to be a world of time. So again, Holy Spirit is telling us that what we are doing is we are practicing. Another way of wording that is what we are doing is we are continuing to focus on our true desire until our true desire is, I'm going to call it, whole. Because as Holy Spirit has been telling us recently, there is still resistance, as he says in NTI Revelation, worshiping at the inner chamber of our heart. I mean, sure, we want to awaken, but we don't only want to awaken, or we would awaken, because we're the Son of God. If all we wanted was the experience of being awake, if that's all we wanted was that experience, we would be awake. So if we are not experiencing ourselves as awake, it's because we actually still have another desire within our mind too. That is the desire not to know thyself, which can also be called resistance to knowing thyself. So what we are really doing is we are learning more and more and more how much we want to know ourselves. We're learning that through our experience. We're focusing on that true desire. We're allowing time for it to grow. And that's practice. That's the practice of awakening, is the way it's worded in NTI Hebrews. When that desire is complete, we will awaken. But until then, we need to focus on it and get better at it and have it become, as he says here, a moment-to-moment habit of love. And he's asking us to be patient with ourselves in the process, not to judge ourselves for not being awake now. Because, of course, when we judge ourselves for not being awake now, we're strengthening the ego, because the ego is judgment.
I see something for me here, but...
Go ahead, you know, speak.
No, I was thinking something important for me here. You know, tell me that you believe in it, you know. Share your fears and your beliefs with me, and give them over to me in love and faith, and be patient. The talking to my heart, to
yes.
my Holy Spirit, saying, you know, that's what I believe.
Yes.
I believe that.
Yes.
You know, I get this thought of hate. You know, I'm very identified to it. That's what it is. There's a great deal, lately he's been working a lot, there's a great deal of like, you remember in the message, Rest, Accept, and Trust, he asks us to say, that's what I feel now.
Yes.
That's what I believe,
yes.
actually. These are the thoughts I hear, and you know, and I'm afraid I'm identified to that. You know, bring that inner conversation, you know, with Spirit inside, because of course he's hearing us always. He's always here.
Yes, yes.
You know, just a little.
No. In fact, what I want to do now that you said it is, I just want to read the entire paragraph again, because I think it's very important. So, again, when I said, what do we do when we experience sickness or physical pain? It could be or hate
or anything
that is not representative of our truth.
Exactly.
What do we do when we experience something that is not representative of our truth? Well, we ask the question.
You know.
He says, see it as a symbol that more healing is needed. So when you are experiencing hate, well then, you know, there you go.
Or
judgment, or you know, then you know,
irritation.
No, you still need healing.
Exactly.
See it as a symbol that more healing is needed. Let it tell you that you still believe in the unreal, and so you must trust in me to lead you safely home. Give your sickness or pain to me, and tell me that you believe in it. Share your fears and your beliefs, and give them over to me in love and faith. And then be patient with yourself. From within your experience, healing may seem to take time. That is only because you are practicing for the moment of healing. And all practice is important. I like that line too. All practice is important. When your practice becomes a moment-to-moment habit of love, you will be healed. Until that seems to be patient with yourself. For patience is a symbol of love in what seems to be a world of time. My next question then was, how about taking care of the body through diet and exercise? Isn't it funny that I used to feel guilty for exercising? That's what the ego can do to us. Answer. What you are really asking is, should you feel guilty for believing the body needs care? This is the same as we have discussed already. The ego would have you believe your guilt at every opportunity. Because the ego is the choice to believe your guilt over your innocence. Believing your guilt is the mistake you made. For if you had believed the thought of innocence, you would have let go of the thought of a separate will, and the separation would not have seemed to occur. So, of course, he's referring back to the tiny mad idea here. Forgiveness is the same in all situations. It does not matter if you seem annoyed with someone, afraid of what seems to be scarcity and lack, proud of an achievement over another, sick, or concerned about the foods you choose to eat. It is all the same. How the hell is that true, Holy Spirit? Right, is really my next question, because it all looks different to
what
me.
Are you talking about that?
Yeah, so my next question was, how is it all the same? And here's his answer. It is all belief in this world you made, and it is all serving the purpose of distracting you from healing. And it can all be given to me so that its purpose can be changed and it can be used for healing. Remember that forgiveness is your only function here. In simple terms, that means that whenever you do not feel peace, your job is to turn that thing over to me and give me your willingness and trust, that I may show you that you are wrong. For you are wrong. You believe you are separate from God, and you cannot be. That is impossible. That is the one error that needs correction. All of form is nothing more than a manifestation of that error in what seems to be a myriad of forms. But it is all the same. I said, I still seem to have a question about diet and exercise. So you can see, you know what this is like when he's answering you and it's just not clicking. It's like, I don't get it. So, you know, he tells me all of this. It's all just a symbol of separation. He's really just answered my question. He said, you can turn your diet and exercise over to me. Just say, hey, Spirit, I want you to guide me on when to eat, what to eat, when to exercise. If I was just willing to surrender into that moment to moment, what am I to do now? Holy Spirit would have guided me in what to eat and when and how to exercise. Because I do that now. Now I feel prompted when to go and take the walk. I feel prompted in what to eat. Then I obviously wasn't ready to do it yet. But he really just answered me. He said, I can use all of those things to teach you who you are. He can use all of those things to teach me to surrender, to teach me to let go of the thinking mind, to teach me to become dependent on him, which is becoming dependent on my true self, which is awakening me. But I didn't hear the answer. I simply didn't hear it. So I'm saying, okay, that was a great bunch of words, but am I guilty if I want to diet and exercise? You know, I just didn't hear it. So I said, I still seem to have the question about diet and exercise. Health of the body seems important to healing the mind. It seems that trying to work on healing the mind while the body is not well would be a difficult task. Holy Spirit says, I tell you, it seems that way only because you believe it to be so. The body has no power over the mind, but the power of your beliefs is unquestionable. Give your belief to me and realize that the belief you are giving me is the belief that you could be different from or separate from God. That is the error that must be corrected. And again, one thing that's really important in this particular paragraph is he says the power of your beliefs is unquestionable. So literally, as long as we hold to a belief and insist that that belief is true, no matter what it is, it will seem true. It will seem true. So we have to be willing to take these beliefs that seem true, and we have to be willing to surrender them even while they seem true, even while our experience seems to prove them true. That's the only way we're going to learn that they're not true. So I continued. So, when I see the temptation to eat in a certain way or to exercise because I believe I need exercise to be healthy, that is a manifestation of the belief that I am separate, and another opportunity to forgive that belief by giving it to you. And he says, yes. You are practicing for moment-to-moment forgiveness until forgiveness is natural and constant. And I would say this is a sentence where forgiveness and surrender are synonymous. By forgiveness, he means the letting go of the belief in the individual self. That is the letting go of the seeming independent thinking, the seeming my way. It's surrender to the Holy Spirit within. You are practicing from moment to moment forgiveness until forgiveness is natural and constant. The world will not seem to change, but you will change your mind about the world, and then you will see differently because you will perceive differently. You will not perceive the world as having power over you, and you will not perceive it as having a different than the purpose of love. So look right there. I love that sentence. What he's saying is when I surrender, moment to moment, surrender my thinking and only listen to the Holy Spirit, only see and perceive with the Holy Spirit, then when my eyes look out on the world, all I'm going to see is the purpose of love everywhere. That's all I'm going to see. And you know why? Because that's all the Holy Spirit sees. So if I'm seeing with the Holy Spirit, that's all I can see.
So it's whenever I'm ready to let you know, to stop believing all my beliefs.
Yeah.
So this is what it means when the forgiveness is natural and constant.
Yes.
Meaning I don't believe anything anymore. That's it.
I don't believe all that stuff in my mind anymore.
Nothing.
Sound familiar?
Sounds great. Very easy. Sounds very easy.
I said, yes. Now I see how eating is another opportunity for mind watching. I'm getting it now that I just surrender it to him. I do what I call intuitive eating. I do guided eating rather than the thinking, the figuring out, the counting calories, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, now I see how eating is another opportunity for mind watching. And his answer is, that is all the world is for. That's it. That's what everything is for. It's the only purpose that the Holy Spirit sees. So that is the end of that message, questions about the body. And that's all the further I'm going to go tonight. So in 2 weeks, we'll start with Saturday, August 6th. You see the flesh or recognize the spirit. Right now, I'm just going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to say before we go. No, I think Laurent and I will go watch a movie. We'll see if I can stay awake. If not, I can finish watching the movie tomorrow, but I'll at least start it with you. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Okay, so we're off to see the movie. And Laurent is back here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And I will be here on Friday at 2 o'clock for the NTI study group. And then Jasmine is here at 4 o'clock to read from NTI Mark. Thanks for joining with us tonight, you all, so we could read those messages. It was really great going over them again.
Thank you.
Good night.